Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlin Esau. Today, we're joined by two new label mates and founder and MD of Label Sessions, Nick Sherrard. A big warm welcome to Felipe Matos. Felipe is a startup ecosystem builder, AI strategist, and venture capital expert, who has played a pivotal role in shaping Brazil's innovation landscape. We're also joined by Tala Al-Ansari. Tala is an innovation strategist and transformational change expert with a track record of driving large-scale corporate and ecosystem-level innovation at Atelier, World Expo 2020, and KPMG. Coca-Cola is swapping logos for names again. And Korean Air has gone ultra-minimal with its new brand platform. What is this, I guess, new wave of debranding? Tell us about how brands are trying to stay relevant. And also, what does this mean for branding in 2025? Are we looking at simplification, personalization? Is it a reset in disguise? What does this debranding of Coca-Cola mean for brands in general?
Sure. I think for the Coca-Cola example, I'm not a brand expert, but I wouldn't maybe classify it as rebranding, because I remember when the original campaign came out, the Coke can still look the same. It was red. Anyone could identify that it's Coke. So the brand identity was still there. In essence, it's just the logo that was gone. The product taste didn't change, size, color, structure. So I guess in the case of Coca-Cola, it was more of just not having the logo and personalizing the experience for consumers. And I think that's really powerful in this day and age of social media, where people like to take photos and share experiences. So I think if they play on that campaign, with kind of having people leverage photos of friends and family and drive a whole campaign around that, I think that would be a very interesting campaign that they would host. But when you talked about, let's say, Korean Air, or if I think of other ones, even like Jaguar, it's very different experiences, and we've all seen the, how the public responded to the Jaguar rebrand. We all had strange responses to that. So I felt that Jaguar lost its identity. That was a company with rich history. It was known by that Jaguar. The logo was gone. The typography had changed. The majority of the general public, I think I had followed up on the story because I used to own a Jaguar before, so I'm very passionate about the brand. And I think 80% of people were unhappy. And I was like, I was one of those, I think a lot of brands are going down the route of like very simplistic design. And while that's very aesthetic and pleasing to the eye, it doesn't suit every brand's character, because some brands have a rich history and that's what makes them strong. So I think it's interesting to see how brands are going to play on this in 2025. But with the conversation we're having around tech and AI, I think it's going to be a very interesting time to see not only what big brands do. I'm more interested to see what smaller brands and startups do, because now they have access to all these tools that will allow them to produce so much more with so much less as investment. So I think the space I'm excited about is seeing how all these startups are going to build, 2-3 people companies, but do amazing things without multi-million dollar agencies supporting them. So for me, that's what I'm excited about this year.
100%.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tala. I'm super excited about what startups can do with this new technology and everything that's coming up. I'm really very excited. I've had done some amazing things like myself in 2 months of exploration of AI. I actually went back to programming after almost 20 years without coding. And every day I get more and more amazed about what AI can do for anyone who wants to build a product in the digital world. It's completely, nothing's going to be the same again, because the quality is higher, the cost is lower, the time shorter, and the capacities of, personalization and, things that you can do are enhanced. So this is a very, very powerful combination. And I think, I mean, everyone's trying to figure out what is it, what can we do with it, what is really valuable out of it, like, you know, aside of, you know, Ghibli cool images and everything. And the answers are obviously very unclear to this point. But I think startups are probably the best entities to take advantage of that. You know, they're fast. They don't have anything that they have to, you know, comply with, obviously, like the law, but, you know, no base of customers, base of products, or they have nothing to lose. So their capacity to take risks and do really new things is higher, and they can do it in a faster, at a faster pace. So that's probably where the next really big innovations is coming from.
It is interesting, I guess, in terms of the sort of power dynamics that come through in a sort of post AI world, because I guess, you know, absolutely true that startups can move faster. The tools mean that they can look like a much bigger company, frankly, than they are. They can get there much quicker. To a certain extent, that's a real challenge for branding, though, because essentially you've got everybody can look quite similar quite quickly. One of the things that's interesting with the Coke example is, as such, it's sort of been called out as if it's a de-branding tactic because they're removing the logo, as Tala was saying, and replacing it with a name. But actually what they're doing is they're harnessing all the associations that were built by Coke over years and years all over the world, which means that, to your point, you can take off the name and everyone still knows it's Coke, right? That's the thing you can do. It's so much harder for a brand to do that now because there's so much fewer, there isn't the equivalent of the kind of peak time ad breaks you could buy ads in all over the world that would get you to that kind of association. So it's almost like there's kind of two dynamics going on, I think. So there's the massive global brands like Coke that have been paying into the brand for so many years that you can now start to really harness that in different ways, and you can do de-branding as a trend, and you can be really playful with your brand assets because everyone already knows who you are. And on the flip side, there's then an interesting challenge where if you're a new company coming up, the only way you can actually stand out anymore is to be really distinctive in how you do things, because you're going to have to be, you know, not just looking as good as everybody else in the market, but somehow being different in a way that you notice when we're in Dubai or in Brazil or in the UK. Like what's the thing you can do that's actually distinctive anymore? Because it's not going to be your kind of classic things of brand colors, a couple of brand assets, a logo. It's going to have to be something else if you're going to build new association and kind of cut through on any level.
I think one of the things that is probably the underlying thing here is that personalization is becoming the default. Like that, it's almost strange to not get things that are geared towards you as a person now. Everyone knows the algorithms towards you. If you get an email and it's just like, hi, there, mm-hmm. instead of hi, your name, you're like, well, I don't understand what's happening here. So I think that idea of personalization has taken over to such a degree that it's now expected. I expect to see my name on a Coke can. I never will, but unless I type it into the machine. But, you know, I there's a certain expectation to kind of see it eventually once we get down the line far enough, preferably at my local store.
Yeah. Well, but although it's also interesting because Tala was using the example of Jaguar before, because also there's a lot of big brands that when you buy them, you feel like you're buying into something, which actually personalization can almost guide you away from. Because actually it's not that you want, if you're buying a Jaguar, it's not necessarily that you want, it's not like you've kind of optimized the product features that's precisely the right car for you. It's that you're buying into what it means to drive it and what your friends will think when you turn up and all that kind of stuff.
Community feels sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting, like in terms of that's the thing that brands have over products, and it's not always, but I guess that's the thing that's going to be harder to build in the future. So I can see why Jaguar went so bold with what they're trying to do, because they're trying to find a way to be distinctive. And especially, it depends where you are in the world, but like, I was just walking up in London the other day, up through Bermondsey High Street, and now every sort of new retailer that opens up looks like they're the same company in the UK. It's like everybody has kind of found a way to do branding in a way that absolutely fits in. And I can see how the meetings work. Because someone goes, hey, we want to be premium. We want to be kind of slightly authentic and kind of craft oriented. And then it leads you into this bit where you're doing it right. Like that is the correct answer. But I can't remember the name of any of the new retailers that I saw. Because it's just like, yeah, they kind of all looked interchangeable. And that's like a really interesting point for us to be at, I think. It's so easy to look like a really credible new company. Like we can all do that really quickly, but almost because we can all do it, they all become interchangeable. And so the actual branding sort of challenge is broken by it.
That's the point that you make, actually, because nowadays we feel like hotels, offices, like everything looks monotonous. It's that very simple, aesthetic, perfect looking thing, but then the character is lost. But I think this is again where the value of being innovative and creative, when you have those ideas, and you use AI, that's where the power really is. I actually wrote a post about this on LinkedIn today, like the future currency is ideas, because AI is going to produce everything for us. So it's going to be based on the ideas that you put and the prompts that you feed into AI to shape it the way you like. So I think that's the difference. That's what's going to make the difference, basically.
Well, thank you again, everyone, for joining us. And we hope you're all caught up on the world of innovation this week. If you want to get access to label sessions for your brand or have our teams mentored by our leaders, get in touch via our website or any of the social networks around. Thank you, everyone.